I'm thinking about women's football and my opinion to France, and I know this is not the question because we're talking about the European Championship for the men. Even though women's side has incredible players, but unfortunately they've never managed to turn up for a tournament.
Hey everyone, welcome to our podcast, The Bold Tackle. We are your hosts, Sophie Howard and Oliver Howard, and we are ready to tackle bold topics in sport,
highlight the women's football industry,
and speak about the unspoken.
If you are ready to get an insight into what really goes on behind the scenes, join us on our journey and listen in
to The Bold Tackle. Hi and welcome back to a new episode of our podcast, Bold Tackle. And hi, Soph, lovely to have you back.
Hi, Ollie, lovely to see you again. It's taken us about 35 minutes to get this setup going.
And we still have that bike in the background.
Stop complaining about the bike. Guys, he wants me to take down the bike for the episode, but that is not happening.
Keep the effort for the weekends. I think everyone will be all right with the bike in the background. How was your weekend? Bit of a rough one, huh?
Just frustrating, really. As you know, my weekends are typically determined by the result on Sunday. So are the following days. But we can't dwell too much. I can't dwell too much. Just need to move on and learn from it once again and look towards this upcoming weekend.
And go and get the next points this upcoming weekend. Who are you playing?
Aston Villa away.
Okay, so it is possible.
Very much so possible. I think the pressure's on us. I think we perform best under pressure. Very much doable and almost a must win in a sense of we need those points.
Was there no pressure this weekend?
Not so much in a sense of, I think we always put pressure on ourselves to perform well. But the table very much changed this weekend, and that's why pressure's increased.
Yeah, I totally agree. Obviously, on a Saturday evening, there was a Germany-France match. If you played on Sunday, which you did, then I guess you didn't watch it. But did you get all the news on the new German setup and new German team?
As you said, no, I didn't watch it. I saw the highlights, and of course I kind of saw what was going on. You're certainly the expert on this one. There seems to have been quite a transition within the German national team.
I totally agree, and I think that's been all over the news as well. In the last two games, they really underperformed, and Nagelsmann went and changed a lot of the team. I think they said something like only six players stayed within the team, and obviously you probably heard about Kors coming back.
Yes, I did. I'm a big fan, of course, as a player. So I was quite delighted to see him come back.
What do you think about senior players coming back after they've more or less retired from the national team?
That's a tough one. I think the decision to retire from your national team never will have been an easy one, a lightly taken one. Seemingly, it was the right time for Kors back when he did. But they clearly still fire for him to come back when Nagelsmann, I assume, rang him and had that conversation. And to be very honest, the German national team needed him or need him.
I probably agree. I think they need his calmness. I think he's one of those players that you don't really notice big time when he's on the pitch, but you notice when he's not there.
Yeah.
And obviously, you probably heard about the goal which they scored after, what was it, 7 or 8 seconds, which was a great way of starting the game. I literally sat down and the other goal was like, oh, here we are, and it got your attention straight away. And you just watched the game with a little bit more focus than you usually do nowadays. But you could just see the calmness he brought to the whole team. And he was like, managing the whole team really quietly, and that's something the German team could probably need after what was it, 8 years of struggling. Maybe that's something we could talk about today, because something you saw within this German team compared to the last couple of matches is they obviously changed a lot of the players. A lot of new ones came in, new ones which are not particularly young, but 25, 26, 27, 28, with not a lot of experience for the national team. Then you have a couple of young players like Musiala and Wirtz. And then you have two, three, four older ones. Obviously, Manuel Neuer wasn't playing because he was injured, but you had André Ter Stegen on the pitch. You had Gundogan on the pitch. You had Kroos on the pitch. How do you think you need to structure a team to get the team to perform, to have this energy, to have this oomph, to have this drive, but also to have the experience and the calmness to let the game flow and not go wild?
I guess every manager is different, but for me personally, I think it's key to get the balance between, as you said, the probably calmness, experience, taking the game by the scruff of the neck from more experienced older players. You need that freedom, that creativity, that just wild energy, fire from younger players. The biggest thing, however, is no matter the age, no matter the experience, you have to have the top level footballing ability. You won't just be on the pitch because you're an older player and potentially bring calmness. We spoke about Kroos. He's on that pitch not only to bring the calmness and dictate the game, but because he's a class football player.
Something else I thought was really interesting, and I read this today, is that Nagelsmann speaks to all players, we talk a lot about communication with all players, about the role they are going to take in the team and if they are happy with it or not. What do you think of this type of communication with the players?
Very important. Not done near enough.
Is that not usual to do that at professional level?
I haven't experienced it personally, maybe at different places. It is done. If you have a certain role within the team that you're not happy about, you won't be happy about the compensation. However, not knowing where you stand, not knowing what your role is, this constant internal battle of not knowing is the worst. But if someone comes, if the manager, if Nagelsmann comes to you and has that open and honest conversation about you are absolutely crucial to this team, this squad. Right now, however, I don't see you as a starting player, but your role right now is to push these starters so when game day comes, they are ready for the competition. That, in the end, is your role, and you'll do that role to the best of your ability. It's not always the role you want, but if it's clearly communicated, you can deal with that and you can do it to the best of your ability.
Yeah, I think that's what you see in some of the teams where you've got the captain, and he still is a captain, but he's not in the starting 11 on a regular basis anymore. But he knows his role of being a leader off the pitch, in the changing room, and when he gets on the pitch. But his presence is worth so much that obviously he stays captain, he stays a leader, even though he's not on the pitch full time.
Yeah, I think it's never easy not to play. But if you know your responsibilities, especially then when you're needed and when you're put on the pitch and it's clear what's expected from you, you can fulfill that role. And your role when you're not starting, it's not easier to execute, but because it's always tough. But this clarity helps you execute it, as I said earlier, to the best of your ability.
Obviously, this was only the first match after this big change you saw in Germany, and obviously they are playing again tonight, so let's see how they perform then. But how would you set up a fully new team? Because this change in a new team, and obviously sometimes you've played together in the national team for so many years and all the players seem to get a little old and there's only a couple of young ones, you need this big change. How do you actually make these big changes, and do you do a radical cut and take everyone that's like between staying and going, or do you only switch half? What do you think about this?
That's a really tough one. I think those transitions happen more often in national teams than they happen at club level. And it's often about the timing of introducing this transition, because we've often seen that national teams, say, linger or struggle for a couple of years until they make that decision to change it up, to create this transition. And often, when this transition happens, it takes a team a couple of years to rebuild and potentially get back up to the level that they used to be before the transition. So it requires a manager that trusts in the process of initiating the transition and having a clear plan of where this team is going and having the patience of allowing this team to develop. If you're just looking year to year and you don't allow for this transition rebuild phase, you're best not doing it. But
in Germany's case, they had so many years of not performing and not being this tournament team, as you call them in Germany. It must have been easy to just make the cut. Not easy to tell the players, but easy to make this big transition.
I think if you look at the managers in recent years for the German national team, they're very, very different, though, or clearly, in how they want to put together their squad.
There was only been two, but I agree.
Yeah, it was it's Nagelsmann now, and it was Flick before that.
And you, Löw. So two changes.
Yeah, he upstayed his welcome, I believe. Yeah. But if we look at Hansi Flick, if you look at Nagelsmann, I very much rate both managers. And I think between them, they've tried to bring the national team back to the level that we're all used to. But we almost waited too long. I think we get carried away with new talents or upcoming talents, excitement, and bring these new players in, and you forget about, not forget maybe, you overlook the older, calm, not as exciting players that, however, have won you tournaments.
Do you ever, in training, play the young ones against the old ones? Because we did a lot when I was still actively playing football. And although the younger ones had more energy, could run for longer, could run faster, were normally physically stronger, it was normally the older ones that won.
Yeah. We sometimes play old against young, or young against old. And the young'uns are very much in your face about beating you. Back in the day, I used to be the young'un, and I probably was like that as well, because there's no better feeling than beating the old. But it's often the calmness, the experience, execution that wins the old the games.
I totally agree. And I always think that's such an interesting phenomenon, because on paper, they should just outrun you and outscore you and so on. But it's hardly ever the case.
Yeah, because you can run daft. You can run wild. There's no structure. Good luck. That's what I always think. I also love playing attacks against defenders. Because as long as you keep a clean sheet, you just need one chance. But
it's
to beat attackers,
similar,
they just go mad and they have no one defending, because they all think defending is boring. No one wants to defend.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a different topic.
On the position side, it plays a role if you are a junior or senior player or an experienced player or unexperienced player. Do you see a different type of level of experience benefiting a person in a certain position in the team? Or how would you distribute the seniority within the team?
I think my old school thinking would say create a spine of experience. That was my immediate thought. However, I think it's more of a, doesn't matter what position you play, you can be a senior player. That's not age. That's the way you play, I think, in this case, in
and the way you behave.
Any position. I think you have more influence in certain positions. Say you're a winger and you're in a game where you're not even getting the ball. How are you going to influence? Yes, there's other ways if you're not on the ball. But you almost have to have or have to be in a crucial position to really pull the strings and really dictate play. And therefore, I'd say probably that experience would be more central on the pitch. But I've come a little bit away from the spine thinking, because I've played with very good senior experienced players in positions other than the spine.
And young players, I can imagine, who played in that spine role,
yes,
who also did amazingly.
Yes, very much so, yeah.
So going back to European Championships, who do you imagine is going to win it? Who do you think is going to perform well?
It's a very tough question. I don't know why. Well, I want Scotland to go very far. Let's say that first. I don't think they're going to win the tournament. It'd be very exciting. It would be magical. I just don't think it's going to happen. That's me being fairly realistic. I don't think neither Germany nor England are going to make it. They might do well.
Not many teams left then, so to win it.
Going through them all. No. I think potentially...
And it's just before you say something stupid, it's European Championships.
I knew you'd say something like that. I think it might be the Netherlands. Don't ask me why.
Ooh.
I've just got a feeling.
They've had many good teams over the years, but I think it's going to be France. If you see the depth of their team and the quality within the team, you had that obviously with England during the time of Gerrard, Lampard, Scholes and so on, Rooney. But I can't see anyone, although Germany won against them this weekend, I can't see anyone beating France in the long run.
Yeah, I'm thinking about women's football and my opinion to France, and I know this is not the question because we're talking about the European Championship for the men. Even though women's side has incredible players, but unfortunately they've never managed to turn up for a tournament.
No.
And that's why I just wouldn't pick France. And I know the men's side is very different, but my vote still goes to the Netherlands.
Then we'll see how that goes. We'll see how the match goes tonight.
Yeah.
But thank you very much for your insight. It's been really interesting because I sat there this weekend and I thought, incredible how such a big transition, and as you said, how difficult this transition could be, how well the team played together. And my question was going to be, have they realised that it's that they really need to get their butt into gears now? Or does it just have the right setup between roles of players, seniority, experience, wildness, and being a great coach?
Yeah, I was just going to say it's probably a combination of all these things. It's the way the squad is put together. It's, you mentioned the communication from Julian Nagelsmann. You've got someone that is a leader that leads this team. And they will have had a lot of conversations that they need to start putting things right because they have been underperforming for quite some time.
Yeah, I agree. So let's see how they perform over the next couple of weeks. It's going to be an interesting European Championship. But thank you very much for taking the time. Sorry we didn't speak too much about your game this weekend, but maybe you're even happy about it. Good luck for this weekend, and then I'll see you again next week.
Yeah, no, I'm not too sad that we didn't speak about the past weekend, to be honest. Just a quick one, all the listeners, make sure you get your tickets for our semi-final game against Spurs. All the coaches are, unfortunately, already fully booked, so unfortunately you have to make your own travel. But don't forget to get your tickets because we need to make history together. And don't forget, when we make this happen, and I say when on purpose, Ollie is flying over to the final and we all want this to happen.
Yeah, give Soph the support, give the Leicester team the support. And yes, thank you very much for listening again here, listening in and giving your support to us. So see you again next week, Soph.
See you next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.